Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, @thegolf_doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host. From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, it's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. As the man told you, John Granato here with you live in our Quicken Loans studios here in Houston, where we are about to get more rain. It's just been unbelievable here with all the floods and more rain and heavy rains expected today and throughout the day. And I've got the Insperity next week here, the Champions Tour that's going to come here, John Daly's debut. And they're really worried about that Woodlands TPC course to see whether or not it's going to be playable. Hopefully, we'll get a nice week with some breezes to dry out that course, and we can all enjoy the Champions Tour here next week. But let's go out to Palm Springs. Our buddy Bill Harmon is with us here once again this week to talk some golf. Bill, what's up?
Good morning, John. How are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing great. Just got to get through all these rains again, Bill. That's all we got to do. I know you're probably not experiencing what we're experiencing over here in Houston.
Well, I'll say we don't get obviously much rain here, but you've had in the last few weeks volumes of rain that are almost unheard of, I believe.
Yeah, no, it's been unbelievable. Unbelievable.
What are they expecting today? 2-3 inches?
Yeah, more stuff, man. Another big, big one coming our way right now, as a matter of fact. So hopefully we'll get through this one. Yeah, we'll get through it. We always do. We'll get through this one, too. And, Houston helps though. It's been unbelievable, the people that have been volunteering and helping everybody out. There are so many people that have lost their homes and have had so much water damage that but Houston always pitches in, so that's a great thing. Let's talk a little bit about golf. They're having rain in New Orleans. Charlie is going to join us. They had to suspend play last night. Angel's still on the course, so Charlie thinks he's going to be able to get with us here in the second segment. But rain there as well, Bill. And, we got some good players, but we got some good players shooting some high scores out there too.
Well, yeah, you've got Jamie Lovemark, who quietly has had a really, really good year this year. He's been in contention quite a bit up on the leaderboard. He's caught by Chris Como, and he's the guy that Tiger hired a few years ago to help him. And at the time, Chris didn't really have any credentials, so to say, but you'd have to give him credit. He's doing a wonderful job at Lovemark, and hopefully he'll be able to do a wonderful job with Tiger when Tiger comes back.
Absolutely. And Tiger was out there this week, Bill. Reports that Tiger played and is feeling pretty good. What do you think?
Well, I saw a video of his swing there at, was it at Black Hawk? Is it? No, what's the name of his course in Houston?
It's, it's Blue Jacket.
Okay. It looked a little wooden, I thought, his swing. But,
yeah.
He had back problems, and he swung to me like he had back problems. But I'm sure he's happy to be back, and I don't think we can take a whole lot out of his first few swings other than the fact that he's back swinging, he's back playing. And I, for one, would really love to see him come back and get playing in tournaments. And I don't care what you say. You can talk about all these great young players. He's someone that we like watching.
Absolutely. Blue Jack is what it is. Blue Jack National. They've done an unbelievable job. I don't know how far along it is. I know that they've got some members already, but as I understood it, they've been having some issues with getting her open, and I can't even imagine how difficult it is with all this rain to get a new course open. If I was thinking about that, Bill, what a story. What a story for golf. If Tiger's competing on a Sunday, I don't care if it's the John Deere. If Tiger's competing, it's a great story for golf.
Even if he's in the tournament, they're going to watch him every shot. So the road back should be quite interesting for him. His last few years of playing, his short game had dropped off dramatically, and his driving accuracy had dropped off dramatically. Those are two pretty important parts about golf. So if he's going to get back to be competitive, I think he's got to learn to drive the ball and play and get his short game to above average. We've just never seen him with a below-average short game. But his short game was below average the last couple of years. So even if he gets healthy, I think he's got quite a few areas that he needs to tighten up a little bit. But I've always said this, and I've said it a million times on this show, that the factor that we can never deny is that he's Tiger Woods. And he's done a lot of things in this game that nobody else has ever done. So if anybody could do it, I would imagine it's Tiger Woods.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like him. I mean, blading it how many times? And, you know, it just shots that you would see a high handicapper hitting because of the lack of confidence with chipping the ball. Bill, what do you say to somebody that's having problems, you know, blading it or chunking it when they're chipping? What can you do?
Well, a player of his caliber, it's a combination of technique and nerves. You know, there's all of a sudden the greatest chipper in the world. You know, it's chunking and blading and stuff like that. So for us to assume that there's no nerves involved, I think would be somewhat naive. So I think that was the most surprising part, because he was the greatest short game player we'd seen in our lifetime. And he became almost the worst short game player we'd mm-hmm. seen. So, I use the word yips, but I know that's not supposed to be said, I guess, but I believe he's got the yips. He had the yips for the short game and the driver. So he's got a couple things to overcome after his health. But once again, I hope so bad that he comes back. I'd love to see him play in some tournaments. Love to see him getting a couple starts before the Open, maybe play at the Players' Championship. That would also be good.
Awesome. It would be a great, great story for golf. Golf, you know, always could use something like that. I think golf is in good hands and doing pretty darn well now. But, man, if the Tiger came back, you want to talk about the golf fan, you know, still loves it, but the casual fan would go crazy if Tiger was competing again, especially at a major. That'd be unbelievable. You mentioned Jamie Lovemark. He's been competing, like you said. He's had a really good year, and he's got to get over the hump. We saw him a few weeks ago where he, you know, was in contention and then kind of fell apart on Sunday. You know, getting over that hump, Bill, is awfully important in getting those wins. We see it with a Daniel Berger, who's already got a win, but he's up there. Lucas Glover back. Bill, and maybe you could tell a little story about Lucas Glover. Since Dick died, it's been like Lucas has just disappeared, and to see him every once in a while now up there near the top of leaderboards, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's good. Lucas is a wonderful friend. Obviously, he and Dick were very close, almost a father-son relationship. Love seeing him back playing. Lucas, in my opinion anyway, was somebody that was never naturally a good putter, John. It seemed to me he, you know, if you look at his setup and things like that, it looks very contrived to me. Some people look like they can just putt. I don't know how to explain that. And Lucas, to me, looks like he's really got to work at putting. So he obviously must be getting his game back in shape. He's having quite a few more good tournaments this year. One of the game's really nice guys, and I know that there's a lot of people in my family certainly rooting for Lucas Glover.
Absolutely, he won that Open, and then things kind of went. I think a lot of it is attributed to Dick's death. Bill, do you?
Well, I think he, you know, he lost a wonderful friend and confidant when Dick passed away, and. And then he went through a divorce. You know, he had his own personal problems, and he moved from his home of Greenville, South Carolina, down to Georgia, and now he's in Florida, starting a new life. He's got two children, and I saw him out here for the tournament back in January, and he seemed in good spirits, and I'm a big Lucas Glover fan, so I'm rooting for Lucas to get it back.
Absolutely, absolutely. What a great story that would be for all involved in the Harmon family. That would be just awesome. I've got one in here. Charlie Epps is going to be joining us, we think, in the second segment. Bill, Fuzzy Zeller is going to join us down at the bottom of the hour. We will talk to Fuzzy about Champions Tour. We've got a John Daly story that we got to talk about as well. Fuzzy, one of the true characters of the game, two-time major winner, 10-time winner on the PGA Tour, won a couple of times on the Champions Tour as well. Great ambassador. Brought a lot of personality to the tour, something that it always could use, and he certainly has been one of the big personalities out there. So he'll join us in about 20 minutes right here. But Charlie's going to join us from New Orleans, give us an update on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, you've been listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Me and Billy Harmon. Billy's in Palm Springs. I'm in Houston. Let's go out to New Orleans. And the guy who puts his name on the show, Charlie Epps, is joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. What's up, Charlie?
I'm live from the Acme Oyster House in the middle of the golf course, the TPC in Louisiana, watching the restart of the tournament, which has been plagued by bad weather. The rain on Wednesday washed out most of the pro-am in the afternoon, and they're just finishing Friday's round this morning. So, but our good friend Jonathan Vegas is right at the top at 11 under.
Jonathan is at the top. We saw that. So fallen off. We've got Jamie Lovemark, who's finished, and he's at 11 under as well. He's done. He's got his second round in. So the two of them up there. Yeah, but you know, Charlie, how's Angel doing? He was two over through 11. What's going on with him right now?
Well, he parred his first two holes. He's one under for the tournament. Looks like two under is going to make the cut. So he's got to, have a couple of birdies coming in to make sure he plays, which is now Saturday afternoon and Sunday. But yesterday he made a double bogey right when he shouldn't have. It's his golf is really pretty good, but he seems just to have one or two bad shots that end up costing him a double at the wrong time. So, but he's working hard, and hopefully we can get through this.
Billy, say hello to Charlie.
Hey, Charlie, how are you?
You know, Bill, I'm doing well.
Good.
Watching golf this morning, but getting up at 4:30 in the morning for these restarts is getting hard on this old man.
I bet. Where are you guys staying this week?
We're just staying 5 minutes from the course in the Best Western Motel, and it's very convenient, and so we're not fighting the traffic, and But we've gone downtown once to have dinner and have some of that good Louisiana cooking. So, but I like New Orleans. It's a fun city.
You were out on Bourbon Street all night long. Charlie went straight to the course.
that street is unbelievable. We walked down. Yes, right there.
That's it.
You know, one block, and there's definitely a lot of strange people walking around that. Bourbon Street, let's put it that way.
A lot of good stuff going on there. Charlie Epps with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And, Charlie, we're fighting more rain over here. We got the Insperity coming next week. We got, the 3M Legends Challenge that's going to be here. And, all the great golfers that are coming in. John Daly making his debut as well. Hopefully we'll get it. We got more rain coming today, Charlie.
I know, John. It's really scary what's happening around our part of the world with all that rain and the poor people that have had their houses flooded, and it's just gone from bad to worse. Hopefully, we can get through this and have a good summer. So, but the one thing I wanted to touch on before I leave you guys today is that the ultimate buddy trip is in December, and if you really want to reward yourself for a great year of hard work, then that's what all Americans do is work hard. And along with Insperity, which a company that inspires us to work towards success, sign up for the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am on PuertoVallartaProAm.com. And Billy Sitton and Jackie Sitton, who have run this for 27 years, just do an outstanding job. And I just can't encourage everybody to come and join me the first week in December for a lot of fun.
You were got to do that. InternationalProAm.com. Now, as I mentioned, Bill and Charlie, Fuzzy Zeller is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. And, Bill, you were out there for a while on the tour, and Fuzzy was there, obviously. Big personality. Any good locker room stories that you can tell? Anything that you remember comes to mind with Fuzzy out there on the tour?
Well, I think he shot one of the most underrated great rounds in the history of the game when he won the playoff with Greg Norman at Wingfoot. He shot 67 in the playoff at Wingfoot. And shooting 67 at Wingfoot in a casual round would be a heck of a score. To do it in an 18-hole playoff for the U.S. Open, I think he never got the credit for what a great round that was. And I also have another story about him. When I was caddying for Jay, we were tied with Fuzzy for the lead at Harbortown going the last round in the last group, and they both double bogeyed the first hole. And we were walking to the second tee, and Jay was quite upset. And Fuzzy ran up behind him and put his arm around him and said, "Well, we don't play that hole for another year." And I said, "Oh, man." One guy's really upset, and the other guy could care less. Guess who won? Fuzzy won.
Yeah, because that's the attitude, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I'll be interested to talk to him a little bit about his attitude, because it wasn't a phony attitude. I saw him act that way when he was playing poorly and act that way when he was playing well. So he really brought a lot of color to the game and a lot of joy to the game, really.
And you bring perspective, right? Look at what we're doing out here playing golf, everybody. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, and a marvelous player. I don't think people realize how good he was.
And he won his first Masters, one of the only two guys to ever win the green jacket on his first go-around. He won it in a playoff. So Fuzzy was a carefree guy. I got to know him when we played mini tour events early on before he got his card. And he was one of the original long hitters of the golf ball with that persimmon wood and that old Balata ball. He could hit it a long ways.
Yeah, it was the first time since Gene Sarazen back in 35. He won it in 79. So, first-time starters just don't win. And he won his first start in Augusta. That's just saying something. Yeah, that, and it probably has a lot to do, Bill, with what you were talking about there. Attitude, no? You know, I can win. Why can't I win this thing?
Yeah, I think Fuzzy just went out and played golf. He never appeared to be overly nervous. I'm sure he was. Everybody gets nervous. But he just had a way of dealing with things. And he was wonderful for the game. Terrific for the game of golf. Fuzzy Zeller's a bonafide, wonderful player.
Yeah, and a big personality, and we just don't have that out there, Charlie. Do we? Is there anybody out there with anywhere close to a Fuzzy person, or Lee Trevino, or guys just that are? Who is there anybody close out there today?
You know, there really is not. There's not the carefree characters that are just fun loving guys that can really get a crowd relaxed and have fun. Everybody out here is so focused and trying to get better that we need some more guys like Fuzzy to lighten the load. It's hard to do, but these young kids today are taught to be focused and one shot at a time and not to watch scoreboards, and they're uptight. So we'll see somebody come by. Ricky Fowler's pretty loose, wouldn't you say, Bill? I mean, he's not gregarious as Fuzzy is, but he's pretty loose. He kind of kids around.
He's got some swagger to him, and I'm watching the European Tour on the Golf Channel right now. Mm-hmm. It's beyond belief how slow these people play, too, Charlie. That's another thing I liked about Fuzzy. He got up there, took a couple waggles, and slapped at that thing. He played the game. He played the game with style and personality.
Yeah, he sure did. Charlie, get out there. Fuzzy's going to join us on the other side. Good luck to your man today. Billy and I will take it the rest of the way here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here in Houston, Texas, Billy Harmon in Palm Springs. Let's be joined right now by 10-time tour winner, 2-time major champion, Bob Jones Award winner in 1985, Fuzzy Zeller, going to come back here where he played his college golf hangout next week at the Insperity. Fuzzy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, well, good morning to everybody. I hope the rain finally stopped for everybody down there.
Well, we're getting it again today, but hopefully next week it'll all dry out and we'll have a great week of golf here, Fuzzy. Yeah, we got a bunch, and the TPC is working their tails off to get that golf course ready for you guys next week. So Houston's got to have a special place in your heart, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It sure does. I mean, I had a great time down there when I went to school down there at University of Houston, and it was a great experience. I mean, it's kind of a springboard to me to go to the next level, as they say.
Hey, Fuzzy, Bill Harmon here. How you doing?
Really, I'm doing fine. It's good talking to you, buddy.
Great. But who was on the team at Houston when you played there?
Oh, well, I had some guy named Bruce Litsky and Bill Rogers, Bobby Bell, Brady Miller.
How about that?
We had a pretty good team down there, Billy, at that time.
Did Litsky not practice during college either?
You know what's amazing? No, he didn't practice that much, but he always hit a hook. He used to hit a big old hook, and then when he joined the tour, he came back with a big old slice. So he went from one extreme to the other.
Hey, Fuzzy, I was saying before you came on that I think one of the most underrated great rounds of golf in the history of the game is the 67 that you shot at Wingfoot in the playoff to beat Greg Norman for the U.S. Open. My understanding is that you had actually played Wingfoot in the Anderson there as an amateur, so you had a little somewhat of a love affair with the golf course. But looking back on your career, where do you rate that round as relative to the best rounds you've ever played?
Well, Billy, it ranks right up there at the top. You know, the U.S. Open is probably the toughest conditions that golfers have to face. Not only do you have to be hitting the ball well, but you got to have a patience level that's second to none in order to play those courses well. But it did catch me on a golf course that caught my eye. And as you know, as a player and also as a teacher, there are certain golf courses that you just feel real comfortable on, that when you stand on the tee, the shot is already there. It's just a matter of you performing it. And I felt very good at Wingfoot up there. I mean, from the tee to the landing area and then from there to the green. And then I had a great putting touch for the week, too.
Fuzzy Zeller.
Well, you bring up something important there. I think, of course, it looks good to you. I think a lot of the, I don't know, there seems to be so much personality coached out of the game today. And these players, I'm sitting here watching the European Tour on TV. I just can't even believe how slow everybody's playing. You seem to play the game, and I've always contended that really good players play golf with their eyes. They see the shot they want to hit, and they hit it. As you've watched the game progress over the last 15, 20 years, what's your opinion on how the game is being played today?
Well, today I think it's more of a power game, whereas before with the older players, I think it was done with feel and eyes. You know, you just kind of felt the shot. Yardage didn't mean a hell of a lot back then, especially when I came out. You know, you get the yardage, but maybe that club that goes at yardage wasn't the way a club to hit. So you kind of felt your way around the golf course.
Fuzzy Zeller with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. He'll be next week for the Insperity. Looking forward to seeing him here. We were talking, Billy told a great story about you double bogey in number one, and you came up behind Jay Haas and gave him a big hug and said, we don't have to play that till next year, and talking about your attitude. And I was wondering whether or not that attitude was one of the reasons that you became the first guy since Gene Sarazen to win the Masters in your first try. Did you just feel like, well, why the heck can't I win it?
Well, again, you look at a golf course like Augusta, similar to Wingfoot. You know, I had a great feeling the first day I got in there on a Monday morning, and I played the back nine with Hale Irwin. I don't know, just something was right. The whole week was right. Playing well coming in there is a positive, but also having a golf course that kind of meets the eye, kind of the shots I had to play, I felt very comfortable with. It has surprised me over the years that nobody has done it since. because there's been a lot of talent that's gone up and down Magnolia Lane, and I know the guys are trying, but jeepers, I think 79 was the last time it's been done. It's kind of crazy. It's mind-boggling, as I say.
Fuzzy, as you look back on winning that Masters and a U.S. Open and 10 tour titles, and once again, you're talking a lot about playing with feel. Do you think the equipment has changed dramatically the way people play golf today?
Well, no, I'm not, Billy. I'm not going to say equipment. I'll say the golf ball's changed it.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be you could really bend the ball. And when you hit an off-center shot, the ball would really bend. And nowadays, the ball seems to just kind of go somewhat straight. So you're not going to have those off-center shots are kind of going to stay on the golf course, whereas before, with the old soft, melodic things that we used to use with the wood heads, when you missed, it was a complete miss. And you might cut your golf ball, and you had to play out with it.
Fuzzy Zeller with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Fuzzy, if on the Internet right now, there must be 1,000 stories about you owing John Daly $150,000 because he made it to the age of 50. And there are a few stories asking whether or not it's true. You can straighten that out.
I think it's all BS, but that's okay. He probably owes one or two other people $150,000. So if he pays them off,
he made.
You know the odds. I'm going to tell you the odds were not real good that he would make 40. That was kind of the old joke, and now he's made 50. God bless him. He's a cat with about 48 lives.
He sure is, and he's going to make his debut here next week. What about him going out there on the senior tour, on the Champions Tour?
Well, he's, again, a new face. That's the great thing about the Champions Tour is that we always have new people coming in. John is going to be outstanding for the Champions Tour, no doubt about it. There's one reason for that. People relate the blonde hair, the golf swing with the name. You know, unlike the PGA Tour where all the swings kind of look the same now, and you got to get right up close to find out who the hell they are. You can stand four fairways away and know that it's John Daly. So that's what's great about it.
Buddy, how do you think John will do? A lot of people think it's always easy. People, guys, are going to come out there and just light up the Champions Tour. But, you know, the scores that these guys shoot out there, 18, 19, 20 under in three-round tournaments, boy, not only do you have to play good, you got to play
really?
Good.
That's a good question. I think you got to go ask Davis Love and guys like VJ Singh, they come out there. I mean, they were stars, and they haven't won yet. So, you know, we don't get enough credit. The guys who play the Champions Tour don't get enough credit. I mean, it is amazing that they can go out and say in 54 holes of golf and shoot 20 some out under par. And these golf courses, you know, everybody thinks that we play at 6,200 yards. Well, they're not 6,200. They're about 72 plus is where they're at now. It blows my mind. I'm telling you, they make a lot more birdies than I've ever made.
And how about Longer? I mean, not only out there on the Champions Tour, he was competing at the Masters this year.
Yeah, I call Bernie the Matt German. He's always mad at everybody. I haven't figured out what's gotten into him. He's a better golfer now than what he was when he played in his prime.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how good. Well, it's coming here to Houston next week, everybody. It's absolutely free to go on out and watch the Champions Tour next week. Plus, Jack, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, David Graham, Tony Jacklin, Tom Weisskopf, Ben Crenshaw, Hale Irwin, Dave Stockton, all in the 3M Greats of Golf. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well to see those guys. Fuzzy, that's cool too, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. You know, I've had an opportunity to play in the lineup at the 3M up in Minnesota. In the Legends part of it. That is a different game. Again, they do play a scramble, but, you know, to watch Jack and to watch Gary, the older guys, still play and play at a very competitive level. It's the only game that I know, besides maybe bowling, that you can still do that.
Yeah. Hey, we got to go, Fuzzy. Thank you so much for joining us, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week.
Enjoy it, boys. We'll see you all next week. Thank you.
There's Fuzzy Zeller. Going to be right here at the Insperity next week, right here on the Yahoo Sports Radio. Great, great stuff. Taking a break, Billy and I will bring it home after this right here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again, with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Well, we didn't exactly get confirmation from Fuzzy Zeller that he owes John Daly $150,000. The story goes, he and John Daly went to played a practice round on Tuesday at Augusta, went to T-Bones. Bill, if you've been to Augusta and gone to the Masters, you've been to T-Bones, right?
Correct.
So they went to lunch. They ended up in the same clothes the next morning for the par three, the two of them. So they were out all night, and Fuzzy told him, if you make it to the age of 50, I'm going to give you $150,000. Well, he made it to the age of 50 Thursday, and he's going to be playing in his first Champions Tour event here next week. I got to give it up, Bill, and, you know, it's well-documented, and you have talked about it plenty, about, you know, the way that you went about it earlier in your life. You've been clean and sober for 25 more? How many years now?
23 and a half years.
I got to give it up to Charlie Hoffman this week. I don't know how. I know I'd party like a rock star if I went out and won a PGA Tour event. And he, you know, he comes back. He's four under now through two rounds, and he's going to make the cut. When guys won back in the day on the PGA Tour, did you figure, hey, he won't bounce back for a few weeks now?
Not really. I know that Jay Haas, when he won, usually seemed to play pretty good. He won two in a row. He won San Antonio and Pinehurst, I believe, back-to-back. I think the other way to look at it is when you're hot, you should keep going. So, I don't necessarily think that everybody would go out and party every time they won and then, get lost for a while. So I think that everybody's different and things like that. And I think if they're smart, they should want to keep riding that wave, so to say, and enjoy the success. But they're obviously playing well, so you got to keep it going in golf. You just never know what's going to happen.
No, absolutely. But I don't know today that you'd ever have a story like that one where they went to T-Bones and the next day at the par three, they were still in the same clothes. Nowadays, it's just a different game. There was a lot more going out on the tour back in the day, wasn't there?
Yeah, I would suggest it would be remarkably different than that. But I was a little bit taken that Fuzzy was not giving it up, that he owed him $150,000.
No.
So, in fact, I think he said something like, there's a lot of people that John owes $150,000 to, or something.
Right.
So I think he threw that in there, but I didn't get the feeling... he concurred with that story.
Well, you may not remember. He said, yeah, well, if John pays back all the $150,000 he owes, maybe I'll give him his, too. But,
yeah, I know he said something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you're right. I'm not sure he confirmed the story with us here, so we don't
I don't think he did.
A breaking
story. I got the distinct feeling he wasn't giving him $150,000.
No, I can't see him walking up and handing John Daly $150,000 in cash this week, okay? That just isn't going
to seem like it.
I don't think John should have $150,000 in cash, that, quite frankly, in his pocket, because that's going to get spent. A true character of the game, though, Daly and Fuzzy Zeller. A lot of fun. How many times did you win out on the tour, Bill? Your man.
How many times did he win?
No, how many times did your man win when you were on the bag?
I think six.
Six times.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you know that pressure coming down the stretch, and we've talked about it before. Some of the rounds that you like at the Players, that fourth round at the Players that made you mad watching that. But there's got to be some that give you a sense of pride. Is there any one that comes to mind where you thought, I think I really helped my man here?
Well, I think that one of the things that you don't realize, the people in the gallery, is that when you have a chance to win, of how bad you want it. And I think that's the hardest part to control and to, you know, to take your time and play the best shot you can play coming in. It's hard not to go to the future, you know, and think what could happen in the next 45 minutes or so. Actually, I felt I had a win with Ben Crenshaw at the Byron Nelson at the old Las Colinas course. And I talked him into a club on the very last hole. He wanted to hit a 9-iron, and I explained to him why I thought it was an 8. And he hit an 8-iron and won the tournament by a shot. But, you know, I've always thought that that's your job, you know, and at the end of the day, if the player can't hit the shot, it doesn't make any difference what the caddy says. I get in trouble with the caddies when I say this, but a good player and a bad caddy is still a good player. A bad player and a good caddy is still a bad player.
Right.
So I'm one that puts all the great portion of the accolades to the player. A caddy can help. There's no question about that. And there's too many great teams out there, Bones and Phil Mickelson and Fluff and Jim Furyk. There's no doubt that they can be very helpful. But at the end of the day, it's a player's game, and I tend to always give the credit to the players.
Plus, you know, does the caddy have the stones to tell that player, no, hit this eight?
Like, oh, no, there's no doubt that there are times when you've got to speak up. And you know, one of the things that I think the listeners might get a kick out of, nowadays, a caddy might get asked up to 20 questions a hole. Where's the wind? How far to that bunker? How far is it over that bunker? What's it to the front left? What's the grain doing? All this stuff. And you multiply that by 72 holes. So you're probably asked over 1,000 questions a week. And you can get 999 of them right and miss the 1,000th. And your week will be thought of as a failure. So the caddy is under a lot of pressure and a lot of duress, and he has to make those decisions in seconds.
Right.
But we're not asked a question and then given 5 minutes to get the answer. You've got to come up with it.
Well, we're done, and we appreciate
all right, you
Bill. Great show. Thanks again. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you next week.